get a design put together to get some permitting. So step one completed. So
Awesome. Love it, buddy. Love it. JT. Can't hear you, JT. Gonna come
hear me
back to
at
you, bro.
all.
Justin.
I think my win for this week so far has been protecting my energy. I mean, there's been just a bunch of negative stuff and tedious remedial stuff in my job that just is necessary, and been able to kind of keep positive and be able to carry the energy and not bringing it home and affecting my family and finding the time with the kids.
Love it. Yeah, dude. Energy is the most important thing, right? It drives all our decisions and the way that we do things. Great job. JT, how you doing with that sound, buddy?
Not
Nope.
good.
Ike, we can hear you.
You can hear me now?
Yeah, you sound like you're in the bathroom, but I can hear you. That's good enough.
I got some microphone issues going on, so sorry.
All good.
No, I just got back from a trip, kind of a guy's trip, getting away to recharge a little bit. It was actually a golf trip down to Pinehurst, so that was a big win for me. And I guess a second part of that made it feel pretty good. I had a nice clearing conversation with my wife before I left that actually went really well. So, good.
Love that. Love it, man. Lots of golfers, huh? Greg, how about you, buddy?
Yeah, completing that baseline challenge was a big win for me because I just haven't done anything that really made me feel like I was pushing myself physically. I do a lot of stand-up paddleboarding, and a lot of it's just slow, kind of, consistent motion, but it just showed me how out of shape I am just cardiovascular wise. So I'm excited. Yesterday I did another routine just like it. Today I did something. So it's like it's just gave me tremendous momentum on getting back into shape. So I'm with you on sending Chris some donuts.
Yeah, I'll give you his address. We'll go in on it. awesome. Keith, how about you, bud?
Doing awesome. I love to hear all the golfers too, so we'll need to make sure we get around in at some point. So I did just get back from a golf outing, but that's not my biggest win. We just closed first quarter. We did more in the first quarter than we did in any single year. So it was amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Awesome. Congratulations. I like that. I like the idea of a golf trip too. I'll have to talk to the powers that be and make that happen. Tony, win of the week, buddy.
So one of the wins for me was in business. So a goal of mine for the past year or so has been to break into another state to get my glazing business up and running. So this week we established a presence in Texas. So we're going to go heavy after some work down there in the following months. So glad to see that we're finally following through on what we've established, and it's going to be good.
Awesome. 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 Well, as you know, that we have a few Texans in here that I'm sure would
Yeah.
be happy to chat with you about
I'll
that.
be breaking down the door.
Awesome, Sven. Got that. Jared, how about you? Win of the week, bud.
Booking the Wales trip. I think going out there and I was on the edge, on the edge, on the edge, and I talked to Force of Nature there, and then I was like, oh, done, booked. All right, let's do it. And super excited about that.
Yeah, just as a warning message, be careful when you talk to Tony if you're not, unless you're really planning on playing big. He has a way of pushing you over that edge. I love it.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I'm excited to see you there, man. Excited to see you
Absolutely.
there. Aaron, how about you, buddy? Win of the week.
Yeah, I've had some fun, like personal family goals lately. Spending time with the kids, taking them to school once a week, and doing workouts with my 9-year-old. So it's been neat.
Yeah, it's fun when you find out that your company runs better without you, right? It's fun and
I'm
humbling.
not that special. It's, yeah.
Yeah. When I first took a couple months off a long time ago, my group did the best year ever. And I realized, okay, I see the commonality here. When I'm gone, they do well. Awesome, man. Steven, how about you, buddy?
I think I'm in the same place as Aaron, really. It's the last week of just, we've got a new team coming in, which means that I'm moving down that road of taking myself out of the business day to day and just there on Saturday, just sitting there watching them do it and going, right, I'm feeling like a spare part here. My big job is to make coffee for people and that's it. I can spend time doing stuff for me or more exciting stuff in the business that I've never had time to do. All those projects, you know, the rainy day list of stuff.
Yep.
Although I now need to learn how to do videos on my phone because I tried to do your baseline challenge this morning and well, I did it, but I've got no video proof of it.
Well, hey. So
I'm pretty cross about that, but you know, I'm going to roll with it. So we'll do it again next week.
Good for you, man. I love it, guys. Well, guys, we're going to go right back into the topic we had. And I got a lot of messages from you guys, and I'm happy to go over in detail anything. So what I'm going to say again, as we go through this, this is the 30,000 foot overview of this topic. All right. We can go really deep into the weeds. And what I'd like to do is go through, you know, I only have a few slides, you know, like 15 or so, just to give you guys, get kind of the water percolating, so to speak, in your ideas. Stop me at any time and let's talk about your situation or thoughts you have, because what tends to happen is if JT asks a question about what he's doing, Michael or Chris, that it's going to spur an idea for them, right? And I always find that one of the best things in business is to cross-pollinate ideas across industries, right? It's easy to get caught in the, you know, in the weeds of it, or, you know, you can't see the forest from the trees and every other analogy you can think of. And it helps when you guys share what's going on for you in your industry, because that's where a lot of innovation can come about in my experience, right? When you cross-pollinate these types of thought processes. Now I'm going to provide the basic framework here and we're going to go through it. And at the end of this, I put two worksheets into the Brotherhood. Did everybody see those or get a chance to look at those two worksheets? Anybody want need them in the chat? And I'll just throw them in there. No, everybody good? Cool. Michael? Okay. And so I'll throw those in there in a little bit, Mike, and I'll get those to you. And then guys, what we can do is, if we have time, is I'll take one or two brave souls and I'll run through parts of those worksheets so you can see how it goes. We won't have time to go through it all, but it's something you want to deep dive through at a coffee shop or someplace where you do your thinking time to get through that messaging as it applies to you and your industry. Sound fair? Cool. Let me make sure I'm sharing the right screen. Always the fun part of Zoom, right? We're going to go with this screen and just see what happens. All right. Can you guys see the screen? Perfect. So what always happens, we have too many screens. So what we're going to talk about again, we're going to review what we're going to do in the next 4 weeks together, or really the next this week and then the next two, is we talked previously about establishing authority and why that's really important, right? You know, I keep using Grant Cardone as the analogy because he seems to be one of the guys that's the most well-known. Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk, these are just a couple of the people that we reverse engineered when we did this years ago and continue to do so. So using Grant Cardone again as an example, he was recently quoted, and I stopped watching Grant Cardone, but I did because I know a couple of you guys do, is I recently saw a video that he says, whenever I have money coming into my business, I only spend it on two things, profit, right? One is an asset that's going to pay me more money. Two is attention. Because if I establish my authority and get attention on me, I will make more money. Right? That's only two things. And so that's his filter going through. And that gives you kind of an idea of where he sees his business, the industry, and where he thinks that he can get the most return on his investment. Two, what we're going to do today is we're going to knock down all objections. And I'll tell you why this is so important. And then we're going to talk about being omnipresent, seen everywhere, right? All platforms, every place you want to be. And then we're going to talk about leading your tribe. So why is it important to knock down all objections? Well, the key thing here, guys, is you're establishing your authority and your presence within your business or your personal brand is really you want to pre-frame any objections your clients might have. So we do this with the Powerful Man. I'll keep using that as my example because we all know what it is. The way we do this is through the podcast. Right? A lot of the podcast episodes that if you guys have ever listened to the podcast are really what we do is Tim and I show up here to a call like this. Tim tells me what the latest objections are that guys have. Recently, we had a guy that said, well, I can't do the Powerful Man because my wife wants me to do something with her, right? She wants us to do a course together. Cool. So then we talk about that objection. This is why it may not work or why it may work, right? And we also preframe what are those objections going to be. We also do this through social media. We do this through the email marketing. And I do this in other companies when I come in as a consultant, right? So a company I'm consulting with right now, they do basically neural brain training, right? Very sophisticated, high-end stuff. The price points are $15,000 to $80,000 per session. Okay, so it's not cheap, right? So I got to know what the objections potentially are for the client before they come in. And the client thinks I'm a wizard, right? Because they're doing the best they've ever done, right? They've been around for a long time, I think 20, 30 years. But the reason is I'm just following this methodology. So before the person even gets on the phone call with a salesperson or, you know, which is really just an order taker for them, we've already toppled their objections, right? That those objections have been destroyed. And the way that we do this is by getting clear on who we're talking to, right? It sounds so simple. I will tell you, and I'm sure Michael Pacheco, if you guys don't know, runs a marketing firm. He'll tell you the same thing, that when you go into a company, you look at their marketing, very rarely do they know who they're really talking to clearly enough that they can communicate to them, right? Who here has had the thought process of listening to Tim, Arthur, myself, Mark, or one of the coaches somewhere, not live, but offline and said, dude, do these guys have a camera in my room, right? Do they have a camera in my house? Are they listening to my thoughts? What the heck is going on? Show of hands. Has anybody ever thought that? What's going on? A couple of you guys? I've heard it from a few. This is how that happens. And you can do it across any industry. You just get really clear on who you're talking to and really detailed, more than you think you want to, right? And really what you're happening here is you're eliminating the people you don't want to work with, right? We want to work with great guys, happen to be married, right? Happen to be at the time, or at least were married. And then, you know, possibly have kids. And I'll show you the avatar. But these are guys that we'd like to hang out with, right? This is me. I am the avatar, right? Coming through there. So you really need to make sure you get granular. You really need to know the details of who those people are. So again, this is what we have written down in The Powerful Man. We target married businessmen, usually making over $1 million, live in the United States or the UK. So we do have people in Canada and other countries, but this is our ideal client that we send the messaging towards. 35 to 50, right? We have people that are outside of that range as well. But again, this is what we're really focused on, right? This is the critical thing. And we're very clear on who it is. We're very clear on the problems that we have here because we need to attract these people, right? And I'm going to go over the ideal client sheet with you guys at the end of this instead of skipping to it now. But for those of you that have seen it, there's a lot of questions there. And some of those questions are going to seem redundant, right? Or not redundant, but why do I care if Keith is on LinkedIn? Why do I care if Jared is on YouTube? Well, you need to meet the client where they're at. And almost all the time, whether I'm working with a SaaS company as a consultant, or I'm working with, you know, a manufacturer or a company selling a service, where they focus their marketing is where their team is, right? Where they tend to like to go. So said another way, right? The Powerful Man started off with just Facebook. Why? Tim was on Facebook. That's the reason. No other reason other than that. As you can diverge and find out where your ideal client actually goes to, do they watch YouTube? Do they do those things? You can get more specific, and you want to get overly specific, right? I want to know what magazines they read. I want to know what events they go to. Do they go virtually or do they go in person to industry events? You really want to know exactly what's going on for them. Are they going to their kids' sporting events, right? Or are they missing them? Like, what really is going on? And it sounds stupid, but you need to understand their goals and their challenges. Like, why? When somebody gets a mortgage, why do they get one, right? When somebody is coming into to a cheese shop, what's going on with them, right? Do they feel stupid, right? I took a cheese tasting course. Right? That made me feel extremely dumb. It was harder than learning wine, you know, the varietals of wine and things like that. It blew my mind, let alone pairings. I felt like a moron. So when I go into a cheese shop, I feel stupid because I know enough to know that I'm stupid when it comes to cheese, right? So what's my challenge? My goal is to feel smart. My goal is to come out with an amazing cheese that my friends are going to think I'm amazing about, right? So my ego, feed my ego. My challenge is I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Right? So I go for the same five or six cheeses that I always get. but Stephen can come in and break those. Anyway, you get the idea here. You can apply this across the board, but you really want to get to those challenges and what the real objective is, right? Most people will tell you what the surface level objective is. And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, that's not the real problem. It's not the real issue that they're solving. And again, we talked about this by knowing where they hang out. Where do they spend their time? Right? I already know that a lot of you guys spend time on golf courses. Golf courses sell advertisements all the time, right? I know a lot of you guys spend time in the gym. So maybe I can, you know, work with a pull-up bar company now. You know, who knows, right? There's all kinds of opportunities there. But you need to know where they really hang out. Do they hang out at the pub, at the bar, the club, the social club, the golf club, right? Where is it that these people stay? And then you want to craft a unique message for them, just for them, that speaks in their language, not your language. And this is where industry speak and things of that nature need to be thrown out, completely thrown out. And so when the messaging, and we go into a lot of detail on the other chart that I gave you guys, this is what I call barbecue talk. Right? You're at a barbecue, a grill or pub or talking to somebody. You want to speak to them in a way that you would speak to them in that event. So you wouldn't say, so for Michael's agency, he wouldn't say, we utilize for search engine optimization. We're 100% white hat agency. And we specialize in technical SEO, working on schema coding and ensuring that you are found on Google. Everybody falls asleep when he does that. Right? So he needs to talk like if he's at a barbecue. Like, look, dude, you're online. Exactly. You're online. I help you get found by your ideal customers. Cool. I get that. I understand it. Right. So we all get there. And then we need to understand the before and after. And this is critically important. The transition. Most people don't get this. And if I can tell you the before, that's where you are today. But I can paint the picture of where you want to be afterwards. As clear, if not clearer, than you can see it. And then I can bridge the gap between the two being the product or service that I'm selling. You will buy most of the time, period. Right? And I'll go over examples in any industry you guys want to do here because I think it's really interesting. We want to be as specific as possible and really diving deep. And so what I call these conversations and the way that we're talking to them, I call this the 2 a.m. conversation. Okay. So when Jared can't sleep and he's laying in his bed, looking up at the ceiling, his beautiful wife is next to him, but things aren't working out. What's going through Jared's head? Boom.
Make me look so big.
So if I can nail that 2 a.m. conversation for Jared, and then I can paint the picture of where I believe Jared wants to go even better than he can, because he may not be able to see it. And then bridge the gap that the powerful man's going to help you get there. Jared's in. Boom. All in. This guy understands me. He understands where I'm going. And I believe that they can get me there. Same thing for any other industry we look at, right? Real estate, same idea. But you got to have this crystally clear. You have to know the 2 a.m. challenge. And this happens working with a company that does medical device, right? Suppliers. Same thing, right? I've fought them on this time and time again. Right? But at the end of the day, the person making the buying decision is a human. What is it they really need, right? It turned out what they really needed is they needed to make a sale. They needed less stress, right? Because they're tired of getting screwed over, right? By these other companies that were coming in through there. And at the end of the day, the salesperson that was actually the person making the purchase, was the salesperson in this case, they needed to really just kind of look good in front of their peers. Right? So it became an ego play. And that's when they started turning the dollars. But when they were just going over features and benefits of what they were selling, they were just another company out there, just a catalog. Right? And that's what a lot of people go through. As soon as you can humanize this and get to that 2 a.m. messaging, it's a game changer, guys. Game changers. It becomes scalable. So once we've done that, what do we want to do? We want to create a movement around this. Right? We want to create a tribe. Now, this can be subtle in some industries, right? Because it's harder to do in some industries than it is others, but it's done across the board, right? Shoes. Can you create a movement around shoes? Just do it, right? Anybody ever heard that slogan? Like people growing, when you're growing up, people have created movements all around shoes, clothing, pretty much any item. I'm a Ford guy. I'm a Chevy guy, right? All of us in the States know somebody that will only buy because they've created a movement. They created what it means to buy this product, what it means to be here. And it's absolutely nuts. So your job as an expert is really to serve as the guide. And this is where you want to look at your marketing, right? And the messaging that you're sending out in the world. Are you creating yourself as the hero? Right? Are you doing it? It's easy to do. Really easy to do. I'm Doug Hole. I've been coaching for over 20 years. I have 18 degrees in certification. No one cares. Nobody cares. I do, right? Because it feels my ego, but nobody cares. So I have to be the guide and I have to make Michael the hero. Right? Are you a new dad scared shitless about how it's going to be to raise a kid? You know, as every dad in the world was the first time, probably. I create that for Michael. Like, push him against a barrier. I will show you the way. That's different. And what you want to do is show him what's possible, right? And I think a lot of us forget that you only really have to be one or two steps ahead. It's great if you're 20 steps ahead. But if you're going to be a leader in your industry, whatever industry, whether it's the one you're in now or a different one that you're choosing to go into, you just need to be ahead of the other guys, right? You just need to be a little bit further ahead or at least have the ability to cast the vision of where they need to be, right? How can you move them from where they are today, which is for most of us, right? Stuck, not sure what to do next. Everybody's felt that. Every business owner's felt that. I'm stuck. Fuck. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels in the mud. I'm working my ass off and I'm not getting where I want to go year after year. That's a common messaging that I use, right? Now I can show you where you need to go. Now I'm positioning myself as the guide rather than the hero, right? The person, your customer is your hero. The audience, when you speak publicly, they're the hero. You're just the guide showing them the way. And this cross-pollinates the hero's journey is what it's called. It cross-pollinates into all movies. All popular movies have this coming through there. Something bad happens. A guide shows up and the guy hits the bottom of the barrel, right? Lifts him up, shows him the way. He conquers his demons, whatever it is. Star Wars is a classic, right? Just think about it. The guide shows up, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda, and he defeats his demons and et cetera, joins the Force. Every movie has this. And the reason every movie has this is the psychology of people, of us in general. So what are the elements to creating a movement, right? And first off, we have to do the other things first, right? We don't just create an element. A movement. We need to make sure we have our messaging honed in and our avatar worksheet honed in. We'll work on the avatar worksheet over and over and over again till we nail it. Till I know where does Greg eat out or does Greg eat at home, right? I need to know all those things that I'm doing. I want more Gregs. Greg's awesome. If you guys haven't had a chance to talk to Greg, you should. I want more Gregs because he's fun to work with and he does the work. Cool. I need to know everything about Greg so I can multiply him, right? Because I don't want to work with people that aren't as cool as Greg or whatever it may be, any of you guys. You need to make sure that messaging's there before you fill your movement. And I share this with you because there's many times when I started doing this early on that you're kind of like, I just want people to follow me, right? Let's go. I'll lead you. I'll show you the way. And you end up with people who aren't as ideal. So at The Powerful Man, we talk about the beer test a lot. You know, would I get a beer with that person? If I won't get a beer with that person, we don't want to work with them, right? Because coaching is a very intimate thing, as many of you guys know. You've shared things about your personal life that maybe you've never shared with anybody before, whether it be with the coaches or your fellow brothers here. So you need to make sure that messaging's solid so the people that you're surrounding yourself in, your tribe, are the right people. And oftentimes when I'm talking to somebody, I'm doing this, and they're saying, hey, great. I don't know who my avatar exactly is, Doug. I'm not sure who I'm actually talking to. Odds are it's you 5 years ago, 5 to 10. You think about what you're trying to do now, and if you want to be a leader in your industry, again, 9 times out of 10, maybe 8 times out of 10, it's you, the past version of you before you've made a transformation, before you've made a switch. And that makes the best guide, right? Hey, I've been there. I'm not there anymore. Here, let me show you what I did to get out. Follow me, right? That's really believable when you go through that. Aaron talks about, you know, not going into work as often, right, and hanging out with his family. There's a lot of guys that are like, shit, I want that. It's very believable for Aaron to say, look, I can show you how to do it because I've done it. It's not theory. It's the same idea. You know, who was going on for your world 5 to 10 years ago is a great way of starting with that, right? Because then you can hone down the messaging. You know what the 2 a.m. conversation that was happening in your head. You know what your fears were, your real fears, not the ones you told people, but your real fears in your business, your industry, making payroll. Shit, how am I going to fulfill all of these things that were, you know, stressing you out? These are things you'll know. And you can speak about these on stage, right? Even though they're kind of scary and vulnerable, you've achieved them. Most people that you're going to be speaking to are going to have those same fears. They just don't want to talk about it. And when you start talking about it, they instantly connect with you, right? You build rapport with that. So you want to, the best way to do a tribe is you want to create a future-based cause, right? Something bigger than you, bigger than your business, bigger than your industry. The bigger the cause, albeit believable, the better. Look at any political ad, any president that you've seen. I'll get to you a second, Greg. Any slogan, I don't care if it's the UK, the United States, they all have a cause that they get everybody to rally behind. All of them. Right? They all have that little slogan. So this is the same thing with business. The politicians, they know this stuff. They use it all the time. They hire teams to come in and do it. But you have to have a future-based cause that I can dream into. Greg?
Yeah, sorry. I just was wondering if you're going to post these slides. I'm a note nerd, so I'm trying to write everything down, but didn't know if these will be up there. And I'm steak and beer, so I'm an easy cool. date.
Figures. That's what I do. Eat. So it's exactly, yeah, I'll share all the slides with you guys. I have no problem with that at all. I'll get those. I'll throw them into, do you want them in PowerPoint or a PDF? Just let me know. Either way, happy to do it. So create that future-based cause. And then what you get to do is change their identity. That sounds weird, right? How do you change someone's identity? Well, you change their identity in a lot of ways. Again, this is the 30,000 foot overview. But you change the way that they think of themselves, right? A lot of times that's creating another name for who they identify themselves to be, a powerful man, perhaps, right? You change what it looks like to be there. It gives them something that they can step in. People, like when you look at human nature, we produce oxytocin, right? A brain chemical. Most of you guys are aware of this. Happens, Michael, you're going to see this. Your wife, Pan, when you have a child, you know, born, she's going to be friggin' flooded with oxytocin, allows her to bond to the child, keeps the child alive, right? You're going to get it, not as much. But we also get it whenever we fall in love. Our brain gives us a hit of oxytocin, right? Oxytocin happens when we get our identity as well. When we change an identity or step into a new tribe, we get a hit of oxytocin, right? Just a little hit. Why would our body biochemically give us oxytocin when we associate with a tribe? Because back in the day, which wasn't too long ago, if you were out on your own, there's a good chance you're going to die. So being with the tribe had a lot of positive effects on us, right? A lot of positive things came out of that. And you can look at all these things that I'm teaching you guys from brain chemistry, whether it be dopamine, serotonin, cortisol, et cetera. We are pre-programmed to produce these chemicals and they give us things, right? The reason you eat ice cream is mostly from a dopamine hit, right? It's a large amount of calories. Your brain rewards you, says, here's some dopamine. And you feel good for a little bit until you realize you shouldn't have eaten ice cream. So you get them to change their identity of what they are. Now, I'm not a surfer. I sup. You know, and not only do I sup over here in the ocean. Guys that sup on lakes, it's too easy. Give me a break, right? So you change their identity. People fall into it more than you would think. I got to imagine, Chris, in your industry, when it comes to biking, you see this all the time. I got to imagine guys that get into biking are very identity specific on the types of bikes, the type to the road race, to the mountain bike, et cetera, coming through there. And then you want to create a rallying call, right? What's the call to action? What's something that everybody can get behind, right? What is it that you want them to do? And you want to make this, you know, identity. I'll go over a little bit what we do with the powerful man here, but even a manifesto of sorts. I'm against men having to work and slave 60 hours a week while neglecting their families. That happens no more. Right? Da, 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 da. So we also want to break down false beliefs. But before I go into that, let me go back here real quick, because I want to go over some things that we talk about the Powerful Man. So Powerful Man started a nonprofit, right? We're talking about ending men's suicide, which, as you guys probably know, is like the number one or two cause of death, I believe, for men our age. It's number five or six in the United States, yet it's never talked about. It's ridiculous. Identity. What's the identity? I'm a powerful man. What's the rally cry? You're just one shift away. One shift away from being a powerful man, right? We'll go in this and we'll tie this all into the movement itself in a little bit. So now I get to break down false beliefs. And this is critical, right? Break down their false beliefs. So if you guys saw what I posted in there, which was the CAP formula, child, adult, parent. When I get past the child stage of the brain of the psychology and I get into the adult stage, this is where I start breaking down false beliefs. Let me give you some examples, right? My wife and I aren't having sex. We have a dry bedroom. I haven't had sex in a long time. You know, I just got to be better at home. She wants me to do the dishes. She wants me to help out around the house. I just got to be a better guy. Right? It's a false belief. So now I got to break that down. No, that's not the problem. Right? Being a nice guy isn't the solution. Your wife doesn't want a maid. Your wife wants a man who's going to stand in his power and be able to stand up. It's a common false belief that we all have. If you guys look back through the Powerful Man videos, you'll see that I talk about this probably no less than 50 times about this whole false belief, right? It's a common one because we all fall in it. Here's the thing. I fell in it, so I can speak from my past experience in doing this. I was that guy. I'm so pissed off. This is not working. I got to be a better husband. She needs help around the house. Fuck it. I'm going to clean the whole kitchen, get it all done. I'm going to dial it in. She's going to be so happy. We're going to have the most headbanging sex we've ever had in our life. My wife gets home. She walks in the door. I'm like proud, chest puffed up, you know, still got the towel in my hand. And she goes, why didn't you get the oven? Boom, deflated. We start a fight. Next thing you know, I'm on the couch. My wife's in the bed. I'm looking at where I'm going to go on vacation by myself for a while because I'm friggin' out of here. Right? So breaking down the false beliefs is incredibly important and getting as detailed as possible. And then you get to craft the aha moment for yourself, your aha story. Oh, really what we want to do here when we're crafting this is we want to show them something that connects to them. When did you have the aha moment where the light bulb went off? So now what we're presenting to your audience, to whoever you're talking to, whether it be, again, on stage, on video, on social media, or anything else, now what we're talking about is when the light bulb went off, when you realized all the things that you thought were to be true were not true. This is the switch. When is that aha moment? I realized that coming out of therapy that every time my wife and I went to therapy, all we were was more pissed off at each other. One time we were going to this restaurant, it was a really nice restaurant. I was really well known there because I actually owned the building right next to the restaurant. It's one of the most popular restaurants in downtown Santa Barbara. It's called Opal. If you guys have ever been there, absolutely fantastic. My wife had a table. Every time we went in, the owners came up to us, right? And they gave us free, like it was like a prawns dish. They always gave us the same friggin' appetizer, but it was free. And they give us some cocktails. It was really nice. My wife and I decided we were going to go right after our therapy session because of course, everything was going to be great. We were going to air out the dirty laundry. We're going to be happy. And I remember walking out of that therapy room, realizing the last thing I wanted to do was go to dinner. My wife and I were going to sit across from each other, not even looking at each other, eating our food, trying to eat as fast as possible while we acted happy in public as people walked up to say hi. And that's when I realized being a nice guy wasn't working, you know, or whatever. Right. So you want to craft your aha moment to what it was, right? I realized that I'm going to work for me. I'm going to work on Doug. And when I worked on Doug, all of a sudden my wife came around. Right. And so again, we talked about why do people buy? And this is where most people, and you guys, some of you guys are sales guys, you know this, people don't buy on logic. I'll go back to that company I was mentioning that does medical devices, right? You look at their marketing, it was all about the product specs. Spec. Right? They're like, no, people need to know this. This is the best, whatever it is. But no, they'll use that afterwards. The parent uses that to buy. The child and adult buy an emotion. They're trying to solve a problem. Right? Most people buy sports cars, not because it's the engine and everything. They can tell you all the things about the sports car, but they buy it because of the way they think the sports car is going to make them feel or be perceived. Nothing wrong with it. But people buy on emotion. People buy books on emotion and identity plays. People just don't buy on logic. And wrapping this kind of getting close to wrapping up, we want to use these stories to really take apart those limiting beliefs. Stories are the best way to do it. It's a great book called Story Brand that can walk you through how to create a story brand. And it really, all it is taking you through the hero's journey. If you're familiar with Joseph Campbell, you know, he's got a thing called The Power of Myth, right? Great book, old school. But that's actually where George Lucas created Star Wars. The story goes, if I recall correctly, that George Lucas wrote Star Wars and nobody wanted anything to do with it. It was crap. He heard Joseph Campbell speak about the hero's journey. He recrafted the whole message to follow the hero's journey. And I think he did pretty well. Last time I checked. You really need to destroy all the limiting beliefs that these people have. They can't do it. If it's real estate, it's the same thing, right? I can't do real estate. Jared's doing it full time. He got lucky. He's in a great market. I'm in a really hot market. It's too difficult here. I got kids, whatever it is, right? If Jared's trying to get into that game where he's teaching people real estate, he needs to shut down all those limiting beliefs. I used to think real estate would be too tough with kids, but what I learned is when I put my systems in place, it actually doesn't, it's not no harder than doing what I was doing previously or whatever it may be.
Doug, sorry. What was the author's name on that hero's journey?
Joseph Campbell.
Donald Miller.
Oh. And it is the one for The Power of Myth. And yeah, Michael, Donald Miller did Story Brand. Story Brand will walk you through from a business perspective how to have your marketing resemble the hero's journey. It's the best book I've seen on it that takes you from conception all the way through. And I'll get you guys, we're going to talk about that a little bit next week. I have a template. We can walk through that too. But that's the best way to do it. And then you put the customer as the hero, right? Most websites. Joseph, go ahead, Keith.
Trying to keep up. Joseph Campbell and who else?
Donald Miller.
Thank you.
Of course. And I bet Michael's probably got some other resources he could drop to you guys as well, because I know he's probably dying to jump in here because he plays in this sandbox all day. And feel free, Michael, at any time, or throw things in the comments going through. And you guys, you'll see this, Keith, to your point. You guys go to websites that speak to you. You don't think that, right? But it's easy to navigate, what have you. Most likely, they've gone through something like this, what we're talking about today. When you go to someone's website and it's all about how great they are, here's my mission statement for my company. Like, how many of you guys go to a website and read their mission statement or their core values? No one, right? Hardly ever. They're great to have internally, but your clients don't care. The client wants to know, can you help me? Do I trust you? That's it. Those are the big things. Can you help me and do I trust you? And then we use these methodologies to help them. And you want to use them ethically, obviously. I think that goes without saying. So you want to show them what the method is. The method's the framework, the plan. The activation method, right? What is the plan that's going to get me, Doug, from this place, we call it Pain Island or Hell Island, to Paradise or Heaven Island, right? I'm over here. If you imagine visually the way we do it when we execute this, is imagine an island and your ideal customer, the person you're speaking to at an event, whatever it is, same thing, they're stuck in this Pain Island and they want to get the frick out. And they see over here, Paradise. And they're like, oh, Doug, that's amazing, Paradise. But how do I get there, right? How do I get to that other place? The method is the bridge or the boat, whatever analogy you want to use, that takes them from Pain Island to Paradise Island. And you want to do this with all of your marketing in both. And so, guys, you can do this internally with your teams as well. When you talk about company culture, it's the same thing. Right? If you're building a team or you want your team to work better, you use these same principles. All we're using is human psychology. Works in any country, by the way. There's manipulations depending on the country, but it works the same as you're going through it. And what's the external problem that they're having? The outside facing problem that they're having, right? What are the objections they're going to give you? Two biggest ones, right? We've all heard them in our industry and we've all used them. I don't have the money, don't want to spend the money. So money, time, two biggest ones. We all know, because we all said it, that that's never really the objection. That's the excuse, right? So, but you need to figure out what the external one is going to be. Takes too much time is another common one. Gosh, my marriage is crumbling around me. 8 weeks is too long. I need the one that happened 8 weeks ago, right? I need that course, whatever it is. So in your messaging, your marketing, you want to be able to destroy all these external, but really you want to get to the internal. This won't work for me, right? Or if this doesn't work, what's it going to say about me? If I order from, you know, JT, or I work with JT and this doesn't work, I'm going to look like a fool in my business, right? That's not external. It's an internal facing issue. They're going to find out when I work with Justin. Justin's going to know right away that I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Right. I've been here for 3 years and every day I walk in this building going, shit, someone's going to figure this out. I'm not as good as they think I am. Really common. Right. Every one of us has got imposter syndrome in some way, shape or form. But if we know that, we know that our customers also got imposter syndrome in some area. And it may not apply to what you're trying to market or sell or talk about, but everybody does. Super common. All right. So action steps coming out of this. Write down every objection that your ideal client or customer could have. Every one of them. I don't want to work with them because they're in the US. I don't want to work with them because they're in the UK. I don't want to work with them because they're overseas. It's too much, too little. Jared wears hats. Whatever it is. Every objection they could possibly have, write it down. You really want to throw things out there. And this is where if you guys have teams, this is where you get on the talk, sit down with your receptionist or the first person, first point of contact that talks to people, and especially sales that are made and sales that aren't made. You know, what'd they say? You know, okay, why didn't they buy? Oh, they didn't have any money. Okay, well, can you elaborate on that? Well, they said that, you know, they were saving up to buy a car and okay, great. You want to get as specific as you can on these objections because saving up to buy a car versus they didn't have money is a very different objection. That's they're reallocating resources. It's different. And you can change your marketing, your messaging to destroy these going through and really get, so when they call the sales guys, they don't have any of these objections or they can send them material on these to get them down. Then we want to identify the top three. We're the top three that are most heard. And then you're going to create an epiphany story, right? An idea, aha moment. Because chances are you've thought this too, or you heard this, or you have a client or a customer that had the same objection, then they worked with you or whatever it may be that you're promoting. And they've had an aha moment on whatever it is. And then once you got that, you dial in and you start moving down the rest. So what we did at The Powerful Man, when we changed our marketing, you know, to really target how to save your marriage without talking about it, we went that route. We had to write down all the objections that people might have. So I went through it and sat down and thought, okay, what would I say? Okay. We wrote them down. Then we started putting them into this reality in this formula you're talking about, and we still do it, right? We have a spreadsheet that we go through, or I go through, and look at it. Because if I'm creating a video, I'll go, okay, crap, what's the next objection? Tim, tell me what you guys are hearing. And I'll create content around it. Assuming it makes sense to me. Sometimes it's a good objection. But if we think that we can help, then we look at the objection like, you know, my marriage is crumbling around me, but I'm not going to do anything to save it because my wife wants us to do something together, but I have no plan on how to do it. How's that going to work, guys? If you and your wife are fighting and you're not sleeping together and you're on the brink of divorce and she's like, yeah, let's do a course together. I did it with my wife. And it was a disaster, right? It was a horrible experience. So I can speak about it. So next time that objection comes up, we have the aha moment dialed in. I'm going to go through those slides with a little bit of time that we have, but next week we're going to talk about how to be omnipresent, how to be everywhere. So when your people are looking for you, your product, your service, how do you show up in each and every place? And how do you go through that? Awesome. Any questions right now, guys, before we dive into the other sheet? Greg, most internal seems to be about energy sphere. Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Can I jump in real quick?
Of course.
I think, yeah, for what I found with the internal, if you're talking about internal stories and internal journeys with your customers and ideal clients, more often than not, it comes down to them wondering, am I good enough? And it's about a little bit of self-confidence and status increase and feeling better about themselves and them feeling like they're good enough.
Yep. My marriage isn't working. Shit, am I a good enough husband? How'd I fail at this thing that's supposed to be so friggin' easy? It's natural, right? I had the conversation with myself about it. So a lot of it comes down to being good enough. Same thing with business. But how are these guys crushing it when we're not? They're not smarter than we are. It pisses you off. So I'm going to go through, we're not going to have time to really dive deep. Do you have something, Jared? Or are you just flexing? Okay. We're not going to go deep, but I'm going to go over these worksheets really quickly. And what I'm going to encourage you guys to do is fill them out and post them, right? Now, again, if you're interested in doing this kind of work, it will help you. Now, if you're not interested in being an expert or leader in your industry, don't do it. But post them and then myself can give feedback. I'm sure Michael can give feedback on it and you guys can see it, but it's also keeping you accountable, right? Because this is an easy thing to say, I'll do it later. I'll do it next week, next, and it just doesn't happen, right? So I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to go through these worksheets very quickly for the time that we have. And we'll go from there. Cool. So the ideal client going through here. So what you want to do here is you want to put the person's name, right? Or who they are. So I want a married business, you guys, businessman, you know, 44, who makes over 1 mil with kids, right? So what I always do here is I name this person. Who is this guy? Okay, this is Doug. And this is going to be important when we get to the messaging portion of it, right? Name that person if you know them. Even if you don't know them, it's good to name them because this is going to come up when you do your messaging or when your marketing department comes in. They want to speak to a specific person because we're going to get that specific. And I recommend doing up to 3, but no more than 3 ideal clients, right? No more. Oh, here's the name part. I jumped ahead. I usually just do this. Great. What's their age and going through this? So I may even just put married businessman up here. That's what I want. Start there, 44, male. And we're going to go down through the education, role in the company, size of company, career path, location. So you're getting an idea. Now, demeanor is something that most people skip. I highly recommend doing demeanor. Are they aggressive? Are they laid back? You know, because this is going to determine the languaging that you're going to use, right? if you're a hardcore guy, you're listening to heavy metal every day, you're not gonna relate to me in my voice. You're just not. That's, you know, I'm cool with it. It's just that messaging isn't going to be there. There's other people out there that talk about pounding your chest or punching each other in the face and things like that. That's going to be more that guy's style. Communication preference. Do they want to be emailed, text? Is it a Facebook message? What is it? Is it mail, snail mail? Where do they like to be communicated to? Now remember, just because you like email doesn't mean the other person will. If anybody's ever tried to email Tim, Tim's not on email very much. I'm on email all the time. So if you want to talk to me, Facebook message is one of the worst places, or LinkedIn messaging is one of the worst places to get a hold of me. I check them, but email, guaranteed. Email, text message, phone call, cool. All right, so you want to make sure there. What is their primary goal? What's the first thing that they want to solve? So Doug wants to save his marriage. What's his secondary goal? All right, I just want to be happy again. All right, I lost myself. I forgot how to have fun. What's Doug's primary challenge? All right. Primary challenge is I don't know how to fix my marriage, right? My wife is obviously crazy. We all know that. You know, she's bipolar or whatever else. We've all said it, right? That's my primary challenge. I can't get there. What's my secondary challenge? Well, my secondary challenge, and I found this, is I forgot how to have fun. Took time off, went to the beach, and I was like, crap, what do I do? Like, I don't even know what to do. Main problem we solve with the solution is the activation method. Secondary problem we solve with the solution is, et cetera, going through that, the live like a king system. Is he on Facebook? Yes. Is he on Twitter? Yeah, but he's not active. Is he on Instagram? Yes, but not active. Pinterest? Yes, but never uses. LinkedIn? Very active. Cool. YouTube? Yes. So we get down and get granular, you guys, right? What TV shows do they watch? What newspapers and magazines do they read, right? If we're looking at print media, but we can also talk about relevant topics. Maybe I know that Steven reads a particular newspaper, but I'm not going to advertise there. But if I want to catch Steven, he's in my sphere of influence, I can talk about an article that went in there. I don't know if you guys saw the latest Economist, but there's a fascinating article, And I can go into an objection breakdown, breaking down an objection, twist it into a story. If that's Steven and he's reading The Economist, he's going to connect the dots. And it's going to go, whoa, that's amazing to me. Wall Street Journal, right? Same thing. Newsworthy. What is your ideal client reading and paying attention to? What trade shows do they go to, right? I know Michael and his team, for example, if you're trying to target a trade show, they can put a geo fence around that actual trade show in the hotels and put ads just to those people. It's a lot of cool things that you can do. Business networks. Now, here's where we get down to the basics of the messaging. And the other one I gave you guys is going to be a deep, deep dive into it. But how would you describe your solution to this person? Again, use barbecue talk, right? Do not use industry jargon. Talk to them like you're at a barbecue, you're having a beer, you're sitting down, right? What do you guys do? Well, we have the activation method, which is an 8-week program. No, teach you how to save your marriage without talking about it. Oh, shit. I like that, right? Different. Simplify, like very simplistic. I had a barbecue at my house recently, which I told you guys about, a couple of you guys anyway. Same thing. There was a couple that was there, right? Guy I didn't know, right? Their kids went to my kids' schools. You guys know the deal. What do you do? I have a program where we coach guys. We help them save their marriage without talking about it. That guy followed me around the whole day asking me questions, right? Sure, his marriage is perfect, but he had a lot of questions, right? And we all know that, right? Talk like it's a barbecue. If you got your ideal client and you're actually really communicating to them, they're going to want what you have. And people can smell a BS test a mile away, just naturally. So make sure it's authentic. Make sure you really can do what you say you're doing or do your best. Now, what's your elevator pitch? All right. So what's an elevator pitch in my definition? Something you can say in 30 to 60 seconds, ideally 30 seconds. We teach men how to save their marriage without talking about it. Boom. Obviously, you wanted to keep an open loop if you can. An open loop is where that person hasn't been able to connect the dots fully in their mind, it'll drive people nuts. How many times have you heard a marketing person say, hey guys, and next week we're going to talk about XYZ? Even if you weren't that interested in it, your subconscious mind is like, what the heck was that? Next week, I'm going to tell you how to actually be able to pull off 10 pull-ups to smash your baseline. Your brain just has to solve the problem. It just has to. And so you'll be stuck on that. And then actions we'd like to take. You know, everybody wants to buy, but sign up for the newsletter, et cetera, et cetera. Then what proof does the buyer need? Guarantees, et cetera. Social proof is a great one. Testimonials, things of that nature really help. And then where do you put them? Where do you want them? I'm going to go through these a little bit faster. What kind of problems are you getting? What will you publish for them? Here's the objections again. And then here's one, right, Greg? What are their fears? I'm scared people are going to find out. It's a big fear with a powerful man. I don't want my wife to find out. I don't want my friends to find out. I don't want anybody to know. Because in the throes of before joining the powerful man, most of us don't want anybody to know that things aren't working out as well as we'd like to. Right? And then what are the entry point offers, where the splinter offers. Splinter offers when you take your product and you break it apart into smaller objects. Right? Entry point offers are low dollar products. We've all done that before. Profit maximizers are higher end products after you come in, going through. This to me, when I sit down with any company, is by far one of the most important things that I'll run through with their marketing department. It's the before and after, right? And it's really critical to fill this out for each avatar in all four categories, right? Status becomes a super important one for men and women, right? So again, go back to brain chemicals. Status is linked to serotonin, right? That's why a lot of guys, when you're young or you become single, you start buying, all of a sudden you start wanting to collect nice watches. All of a sudden you want to start driving nice cars. You buy luxury items. You do it because you get a hit of serotonin. For many people, when you bought your first nice, like real nice car, you freaking felt great. When you bought your third one, went away pretty quick, right? Still nice, but you got less of a serotonin hit because of status, unless you upgraded big into the car. And that's where you come through. So you want to really make sure you spend some time on this, guys. Where were they before? What did they have? They had a shitty marriage where they felt like they weren't seen or heard. They weren't appreciated, right? For what all the hard work that they were doing. They had a job, not a business, where they felt stuck. How are they feeling? Underappreciated, anxious, et cetera, going through there. What was their average day? Get out of bed, have some coffee, maybe say hi to the kids, go to work, crush it at work. Sometimes just typing on the keyboard though, right? Just surfing the internet, trying to figure out what to do next to solve their problems. Couldn't concentrate. Come home. A lot of times they'd want to come home. They didn't want to go home, but they would open the door to walk in the door. Their wife would be bitching about something. They needed to take the kids. The wife would take off. Felt like they had a roommate, et cetera. Status, right? They were just a regular dude walking through, you know, that no one really looked up to. They were an owner, but people only respected them because they actually got a paycheck from them. Cool. Take the program. What happens after? They have a kick-ass life. They either chose to be married or to separate, right? But either way, that they were living their best life. They had confidence in themselves. They felt their best, right? Go back to feelings. They felt confident. They felt assured. They had a direction and more passion than they ever had. They felt more connected to themselves, which they didn't even realize was a problem. It's their average day, right? They get up. They're somewhat excited to get up. They jump into their alpha rise and shine. They feel like they can friggin' bench press the world. And they're going to conquer it. They're clear and concise on their goals and objectives, and they're going after them. Or they roll over and have sex with their wife or their partner. You know, by the time they get home, they're waiting for passionate love. Dinner's ready. They're greeted at the door by their kids and their wife. Status. They're the guy at the barbecue that the other guys want to be. They're following them around. People want to know, how do you have that special something? Da, 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 da. So I'm going to use this before and after, and I just made this example up quickly. But I'm going to use this before and after to connect the dots. And it can be in any industry. I don't care if you're selling car parts, medical parts, services, houses, commercial real estate, whatever it is. This applies to those two avenues going through. Any questions on this before we jump over to the other one real quick? I feel like this is a little heady and cerebral. Yeah, Greg, go for it, buddy.
So real needs, felt needs. So, you know, status for me, like I got to have the latest SUP board, but what are the real, I forget, there's like a list of the real needs that people have. And do we even think or worry about those?
No, you want to know why they're doing what they're doing, right? That helps you. So if I know you need the latest SUP board, right? So I kind of want to know if I'm trying to sell you SUP boards or get you away from them. For whatever reason, I want to know why do you need the latest one, right? You're going to tell me a reason, right? That's going to be BS. It's going to be real to you. And I do this all the time with me and I catch myself doing it. I have to have the latest $400 whatever microphone. So, you know, it's got to be real to you. So the real reason you do it, you're going to get a serotonin boost, right? Maybe an adrenaline boost from being on the SUP board, which actually just really accentuates the serotonin release, right? Going through there. Maybe there's some oxytocin, et cetera, going through. But I need to know what, I need to know exactly why you're really doing it. And then I can sell it to you. Like, look, status, you're just another dude out there on the water with a SUP board getting into the trend, you know, whatever. Now you're a true supper leading the industry. You know, you're the real guy. You're the real deal out there who knows what he's doing. You're not the weekend warrior dad out there trying the newest, latest craze. You see what I'm, I mean? I'm making this up, but that could sell you the newest SUP board, right? Or the newest SUP board is going to be more engineered. So you're going to glide across the water much faster so you can see more things and enjoy your time out there on the water and crush it when you and Doug get on the ocean and Doug tries to beat you. Talking trash the whole time, right? That's, those are reasons you would buy a new board. It's not the features and benefits as much, but I could use those to tie to the emotional status of it.
Or you're going to be sexy, right? So.
Yep. So wealth, relationships, being sexy is like the number one thing we all do, right? And you know, everybody wants to feel and look sexy. People don't want to talk about it, but that's why if you open any magazine, the ads, depending on the product, usually have very attractive people in it and they're selling you the dream. Like you buy this car, you're going to get laid, right? You buy this car, you're going to get the woman who's next to this guy. You'll get in the car.
So does Jared get more sex based on the cars that he buys?
Yep.
Actually, I'm in trouble for buying cars right now. So I'm going to go with no, but it did get me laid in college. I'll throw that out there.
The wife probably wanted the pool more than the car.
Yeah, I know. Cars are going away. Need to simplify.
But it's the reason that Jared bought the cars in the first place, right? The psychology behind it is where we as marketers, Jared doesn't need to know it, right? Jared's just going to go enjoy buying a car. Screw it. There's nothing wrong with that. Greg, you're going to buy the latest SUP board. Nothing wrong with that, right? It's the same reason we do it. We do things for certain reasons. When you're trying to move somebody ethically through what you want them to do, you want to use these techniques. Your coaches do it. Most of you guys, because I get to watch the activation method from the outside and get reports on everybody, right? There's times that you guys just didn't want to do stuff or you're stuck in an old story. So your coach ethically probably used some of these techniques to get you to the other side. It's like dragging someone up a mountain sometimes, you know, or working with kids. It's the same thing. Your kids aren't immune to these tactics. You just want to make sure you're doing them, obviously, ethically to get somebody where you want to go. So if I want to sell you a SUP board, I'm going to fill out this avatar worksheet on you. I now know it's steak and beer. So maybe I'm going to have a barbecue scene on the beach where guys are grilling some steaks and some beers, and it's all going to be guys with this kick-ass board, beautiful chicks all around. You know, you get the scene. It sounds fun. Somebody who doesn't like beer or is a vegetarian, it's going to be horrible for them. All right, not going to click. So the next one we're going to look at, and this one gets much more detailed. So I'm not going to go through it all. But if you take the time to go through it, it's really where you're going to get things dialed in. And this is what we did with TPM a couple years ago, right, is really going into what is your blue ocean, right? I'm going to go through these very fast because we have limited time, but stop me at any time when you want to go through these guys. You know, what is your blue ocean? What's the industry you're in where it's easy to go through, right? So I sell performance SUP boards for business owners who want to kick ass on the water and aren't worried about falling off or whatever. Who we're for? We're for real men who like to get out in the ocean and play hard after working hard all day. We're not for the weekend warrior or anybody else. Okay. What we're not about, this isn't your foam board that you're not going to fall off of if you're not good. Then what's the one big domino? This is the thing. Like, what's the one big thing that if the person believes this, all other objections fall over? Right? So Chris, you've read a lot about this and Expert Secrets and other things. So this is going to be familiar to you, right? But what is that one big domino coming through? So we're going to go into a couple different opportunities here. And what makes us different? What's the new opportunity here? Skip therapy. Doesn't work. Didn't work for me. Hasn't worked for hundreds of men that we've worked with. Here's a new opportunity. Work on yourself. And you'll, regardless, your stock goes up. So if the relationship doesn't work, you're still going up. If it does work, she'll either stay with you and go through there, right? Title of Liberty, but also more importantly, what's the 4-minute mile? We all know Roger Bannister's story. 4-minute mile was impossible. This dude shatters the 4-minute mile. All of a sudden that same year, a bunch of people broke the 4-minute mile. What's the big thing that your client gets to achieve that's really going to push things forward? Okay. Now we're going to use this for content. So if Keith is going to put content out about himself or speak from the stage or whatever it is, he's first going to encourage their dreams. But more importantly, he's going to justify their failures. Why is this important? Nobody wants to feel like it's their fault. Until they're indoctrinated and really in, we don't make it their fault. Show of hands out of curiosity, how many of you thought at one point before joining the Powerful Man that if your wife changed, everything would be better? Your partner changed, everything would be better, right? And how many of you actually found out that, crap, if I work on myself and I lead my family, then things are better, right? It actually starts here. So we justify the failures, and then we're going to put their fears to rest. And then we're going to confirm their suspicions, because everybody's skeptical to some level, right? And then we're going to throw rocks at their enemies. Sometimes you got to create the enemy. It could be society. It could be all kinds of things. But you want to throw rocks at who their enemies are. Otherwise, you can't have a tribe, right? I was listening to a specialist, it's a long time ago, on gangs and why people join gangs. He said, in order for me to have an identity, I had to have an enemy, a them. He was a child on the streets, parents worked, immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. All right, this guy has a PhD in philosophy now. But he said, I figured out for gangs, we need to have an enemy. Otherwise, we have no identity. We're lost kids. Same idea. Your tribe needs to have their enemies too. Who are your enemies for the SUP board company? Dude, it's the weekend guy that's going out and sponging. He's out in the water. He's falling off. He looks ridiculous, you know, or whatever it may be going out there. You want to find those people. Cool. Now there's going to be three stages. People are going to go in. They're going to be asleep, not tired of listening to you, but they're in the stage of, I can't. I can't fix this. I can't do this, right? So your messaging is going to be completely different for this person. Right? They just can't do it. They're a hard person to convert. This is where you want to target and spend most of your time that I've found. This is where the money is hidden. The aware stage. I'm aware I have a problem, but I'm not sure how to fix it. Right? This is where the money is hidden in any industry. Here's the secret on how consultants make their money. We solved that issue. Right? Really going through here and making sure that they understand, because the vocabulary is going to be different because they're more aware of what's going on, right? The tools and platforms they're on are going to be different because they're now searching. These are the searchers, right? Awake is where I want to take them and transition them. These are people that know they have a problem and are aware of the solution. Now you're just trying to get them over the edge, right? Now you're just saying, hey, come follow me. Now the messaging is different. Now the things you're talking to them are different. The things they value are different. Because now you're really talking about their internal issues more than their external. They know there's a problem. They know what the solutions and options are out there. And for whatever reason, they're not taking action. And you want to push them along this way. And then you can do videos like we talked about. False belief, epiphany story. False belief, epiphany story. Or going through there. Of whatever it may be. Again, we're getting a little bit more technical here, and this is a lot. This takes a lot of time. Michael, I know you and your team do something like this. How much time do you spend on this with a client, typically? I think Michael's frozen, or he's very stoic. So when I used to do it, this would be a week or more, like really working with a client and dialing these in. Michael, you there? And then I pick the top three, and we've already talked about this a little bit, and we go through it. So guys, this is for you guys, for you to download, share with your teams. You can fill it out automatically, you know, by your way, click in it and then print it, make sure you save it as it is. But this is gold if you do it. The thing is, like I told you guys at the beginning of this, everybody knows that, hey, this makes sense. Very few people ever do it. Very few, because it takes work. And everybody's putting out fires. But I encourage you to take the time to go through it. If you post it, I will certainly look at it with you virtually through Zoom. Michael might as well, because I know he's got a lot of experience in doing this also. What's coming up for you guys? Yeah, Stephen.
I think for me, it's just that last bit there on that second worksheet. It's just got me. I've just wrote down something we've never really done, which is getting out different messages to sort of looking at segmenting our audience on our mail, you know, our mailing list, that we send the same message out to everybody.
Yeah. But
just, that's got me thinking about, well, yeah, you know, we know who've bought from us before and who haven't. There's different messages to get them to different places, to move them all along that conveyor belt. So that's really good.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah, if you can break it down to this, well, two areas for you if they're on your list, right? The aware and awake is huge.
Yeah.
Why did I take a cheese and wine pairing class? I did it for status, right? Because I wanted to go, because I was in a lot of area I lived in and had businesses, was a wine area. Yeah. And I wanted to be the guy who knew about cheeses and everything else, right? It was total status, total ego.
A lot of bragging rights. But that's about how you get people down that road, isn't it? And as you say, the thing as well earlier about not using technical language, we drill that into our counter guys all the time, because we're aware it's intimidating. It can be intimidating to come in and be faced with all this, with all these descriptions, and we try to keep the descriptions simple as well, not technical. It's really important.
Awesome, man. Who else?
I'll share. I appreciate it. I'm always looking for the way to describe the feeling of the path of power versus the path of force. And I like how the way that you talked about attracting the right customer. And what I felt the entire time is that we're working on attracting the right customer. So, you know, this happened a little bit this morning on some morning reflection. It was no matter how hard I work on the external, I can't force that success, and I know that by experience. But by working ridiculously hard on myself and my energy, I attract that success, right? So that's customers, employees, suppliers, followers, and so I think this is some great tools to continue to try to attract the right people in your business, because you can't force it.
Oh, 100%, man. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I can't emphasize enough how internally for your company culture, you can use the exact same thing, right? Who are the ideal hires you want, your C-suite hires or anybody else in your team, right? Or your real estate investment team or whatever it may be. And really start looking at this and really start bringing them into your sphere of influence. And for most of you guys, it's going to be you a certain time in the past, right? Because the reality is most of us like hanging out with a version of ourselves. It's just the way it is. I've done this a million times, not a million, but I've done this literally hundreds and hundreds of times. And with most companies, it's a version of the founder previously, or the problem that they were trying to solve. So Michael, I know you're back here. Anything you want to add?
What was it you were saying, were asking before? My internet was misbehaving.
I was just saying how much time that you devote to working with clients on this types of stuff. You guys spend like a week or two on this, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you guys, for sure. So we have a whole service product built around this that we call basically deep branding that includes, you know, this kind of stuff and looking at who you're talking to and targeting all that. And if you're not spending hours and hours on this, you're not just not doing it right. We do, you know, you can do research on some of this stuff too. Like if your clients, or your customers hang out on like web forums and stuff, you can dive into there. Steven, you were saying before about using what Doug is calling barbecue talk. I love that phrase, by the way. I'm totally stealing that. you can, you know, go on to forums where your people hang out and see what kind of language they're using and mimic the hell out of that in your marketing communications. Wherever they hang out, just, you know, figure out what they're saying and mimic as best you can. But yeah, we spend hours on this stuff for sure.
Yeah, guys, one thing that Michael recommended the Powerful Man do is take calls, like enrollment calls, right? Mm-hmm. Record them and then throw them into a word cloud and see what words are used the most to use in messaging. I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Right? Yeah, so it's super easy, guys. If you have, say, all these sales calls, you can record the sales calls, throw the audio into something like otter.ai. It's an automatic transcription program. There's a pretty good, it's got a pretty good free level. I think you get like 600 minutes for free every month. And then you can, that'll take the audio, convert it to text, and then you can throw that text into a spreadsheet and, you know, run a couple little algorithms in the spreadsheet and figure out how many times different words are being said. You can cull out, you know, any articles like words like the, a, and stuff like that, get that out of there, and then figure out what are the big words that people keep saying over and over again, and build, you know, you can build products around that. You can build marketing around that, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. And I can't overemphasize that because it's a brilliant idea. And the consulting job I did last year that some of you guys know about paid me $500,000 to consult. And one of the things I did is in the initial, you know, discovery one, you know, it's a Zoom video, we get to know each other. I was recommended. I wrote down the phrases that the owner used. Think, feel, see, hear, right? Is he a visual audio learner? What key words was he using when I was actually talking about, you know, what he wanted? And I was basically getting him to fill out this worksheet for me as I was going through it. And I realized he's a scientist, right? So obviously very logical. No. He was using feel a lot. I feel like this will happen. Cool. So if I would have pitched him and said, look, I'd be happy to come in. It's going to cost you, you know, $500,000, whatever, right? For me to come in and consult for your company, I can help you. And I knew I could help him. And I started saying, I think this is going to da, da, da. And I think we'll go this way. I would have lost him. We would have been communicating on different levels. But really what I did is I asked him a bunch of questions, but I asked him questions essentially based on these worksheets, and he was able to fill it in for me. And now I had the messaging. You can do this on any sales pitch. You're pitching a job, a big job for a contract or whatever it is, you know, use some of these tools. If it's on the phone, record it, listen to the words that they're using, industry terms, company culture. If you're really trying to turn your company around, you want get on your next time you're on your Zoom call, record it and listen to all the words that most of the people on your team are using more and more. Are they positive? Are they negative? What can you do? It's just human nature. When someone says the same things to you the way that you're saying, it ties you in and makes you feel more emotional connection to that person, a little oxytocin hit again, and you can utilize those things. I know Tim did a training as well. I can't think of the title of it, but basically it was on using languaging to get what you want, persuasive communication. Something I recommend everybody here study. Something I've studied for years. It's awesome. Yep. So it's think, feel, see, and hear. Are they visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? Are kind of usually the three most people talk about. But think and feel, I'm wondering if they're using their rational or emotional brain more. So if I'm talking to Keith and I really want something, if I'm coaching Keith, this is what I use in coaching, high-end coaching. If I'm coaching Keith and Keith's stuck somewhere and he keeps talking about, you know, I can't see what the problem is here, Doug. You know, when I visualize where I want my company to go, we're just not getting there, right? I'm going, okay, Keith is using his visual. So I need to use things like that to communicate to Keith, to get Keith across the line. You know, things of that nature. Like, well, look, Keith, picture yourself doing the right things. Da, 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 da. Right? Now Keith and I are on the same frequency. Keith can do it. I can help him out. Same thing with my wife, my kids. Right? So these are things you want to be looking for. But again, going through that messaging is critically important to Michael's point. And get there. You guys are all amazing men. You guys all deserve to be the leaders in whatever industry you want to be in. And it's there for you and it's doable for you. All right. I've seen it happen with so many people so many times. And the only reason some of these other talking heads in your industry or the ones you see out there publicly is because they've gone through this process and they've taken a deep dive and they've committed to the omnipresence, which is what we're going to talk about next week. How do people find you? Because you could have the best product, the best service. You could be the best in your industry, but if people don't know about you, it doesn't matter. You need to have that omnipresence. Meet them where they are coming through. Awesome, guys. As we wrap up, I encourage you, the last time I'll say it for now, anyway, maybe I'll say it later, is take some time in your calendar right after this and just fill out the messaging. Right? Do it for yourself or whatever objective you have. You have a marketing team, make sure they get on it, right? Lean on Michael or myself as a resource between now and next week and moving forward. And next week, once you have your messaging, we're going to talk about how you get it out there and be seen in many places. All right. In the meanwhile, just keep working on those pull-ups. All right. Not you, Chris. Everybody else. Awesome, guys. Great seeing you. Anybody need anything before we go? Everybody good? Cool. Have an amazing week, guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Doug. See you later, guys. Thanks, Doug.